Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 542 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I am joined via Skype by collaborators Mark Cabus and Jennifer Jewell, and we're going to discuss their collaboration and their process on working on Jennifer's one-woman show, Goblin Market, based on the poem by Christina Rossetti. So we're going to get that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hey, Putz, get off your fat tuchus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
All right, IDSers, I'm joined by Mark Cabus and Jennifer Jewell, and they're going to talk about an interesting kind of project that has, from the press release, a kind of a history here based in Nashville, but has grand scopes of going elsewhere in the world to a fringe festival that we all know and love, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So, welcome, Mark and Jennifer. How are you? How's it going? I know you just crossed Nashville traffic, so kudos for surviving that.
Yeah. Yes, but we're doing great. Thank you.
All right.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
No worries, no worries. So, Goblin Market, based on the poem. Where to start? Okay, so why did this piece of literature inspire a show for you?
Well, that's a question.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to frequent the Triune Flea Market on the weekend ages ago and picked this piece up because I liked the cover. When I got it back home, I actually read it. And it was a piece by Christina Rossetti. And immediately felt the grips of the piece and the juxtaposition of the duality of what it was, of the choices that we make every day within ourselves, of being good and bad every day. and the two sisters at the place about Laura and Lizzie, I most resonate with Laura, who is the naughty one. Because I spent the majority of my childhood in my bedroom grounded.
But
at the time that I found the piece, when I originally found the piece, I was married to husband number one. When I knew I had to do the piece, I wanted to do the piece as a solo piece when I was married to husband number one. When we did the piece, got it on its feet, I was going through a divorce. And there's so many themes on husband number two. And the piece has so many, themes, religion, addiction,
enchantment, sisterhood, salvation.
Yes. So whatever you're going through, at whatever point of life you're in, 5, 10, 15, 20, now almost 25 years since, you know, I came across this piece, I've gone through the gamut of these themes in my life, and now I've rested in a place of a maturity, I think, of with this piece. And I'm ready to tell the story. I think I've been all over the board with this piece.
And so according to the press release, right, the first kind of incarnation of it was in 2003? So
yeah, we first did it. We did it at Dark Horse in 2003 with a live band accompanying Jennifer, and we ran it for a couple of weekends, and then the year after that, we
did 3 years after that.
Oh wow, 3 years after that, we did a festival for
with our theater.
Yes, with Green Room Projects, we did a Women in the Arts Festival, and of which this was one of the featured productions.
Mm-hmm. And then life happens and things go on and people do different things. So, how did it just kind of, okay, we're done in 2006 and it's on the shelf, or was it something that kind of stuck around in the background, kind of, well, I could, you know, manipulate that or change this or, you know?
Oh, no, I don't think it ever has gone away, because once you get attached to a piece of literature, and this, you know, like Shakespeare or Christina Rossetti, that piece lives in you, and with great writing, it never goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was going to do this piece again, but I wanted to do it better.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell him the story of how we came to do it again.
About
your teacher at school.
Oh, so I had gone through some health issues and had decided to go to New York. I had some doctors in New York, and knew that I had this, couldn't be just a bump on a pickle sitting around, you know, doing waiting for treatments. So I wanted to go to school and stay in my body, you know, with acting still. I mean, not get out of my profession,
mm-hmm.
but needed to do this while I was going to, you know, go through some treatments. And I had a history, theater history professor. And he said, you know, you really ought to do something with what you do, and you ought to do the Edinburgh Theater Festival. And it's like, well, you know, I might have something. so I kind of dug that up. And Mark, you know, Mark just so happened to be in New York, which we didn't plan to be together again. You know, we've just maintained our friendship after Green Room split. And you know, just love each other. And so it's like, hey, would you be interested in directing Goblin Market? So here we are again with a full-blown, you know, company again. And, yeah. You know, oh, well, you know how things, you know how that starts.
Right. Yeah. So then I want to ask in each of your takes on this question, what has changed for you in this piece over the years? Does that make sense? How have you seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that I've experienced all of the themes. You know, addiction, religion, the enchantment. I mean, all of the themes that you know, I live life to the fullest, and I don't think I've held back. And any part of my life with anything. I love hard and hate hard, and, you know, I do everything hard.
Play hard.
And play hard. And I suffer the consequences of it. Mm-hmm. And so this was a beautiful piece for me to be able to, through Christina Rossetti's words, is to actually, through rehearsal periods, be able to, experience some self-forgiveness and forgiveness and compassion and empathy and some oneness with self.
Cool.
Nice. That's good.
Top that, good. Mark.
Gee, I can't. Jennifer brought it to me years ago, and we were talking about the possibility of creating a theater company, and this was kind of the first thing that we sort of focused on. And when she asked me to be a part of it, had already musicians that were already involved in the show, and we're writing music and had assembled a group of artists together. And so I took what she had already started, and sort of we worked together and developed and fashioned it into a play. And when she brought it to me this time, when she suggested that we do it this time, it was just the two of us. There wasn't anybody else in place yet. So I felt, okay, here's an opportunity to just build it from the ground up, as opposed to something that had already developed a foundation. Mm-hmm. So in rereading it, I was struck by how it reminded me of old Appalachian folk tales. Growing up in the Smoky Mountains in Northeast Tennessee, I'd had an experience in high school of a very ambitious high school teacher who wanted to expose her students to the culture and the heritage of Appalachia. And she took us all on a field trip up into the deep into the mountains to meet this little old wizened woman on the front porch of her log cabin. And she, about, you know, 15, 18 high school kids sat around on her porch while she told us all these old stories. And I was kind of struck, for some reason, that image of her came back to me reading the story, because stories of the mountains of those people all have a supernatural element to it. They're also extremely moral stories. There's, you know, if you misbehave, this is going to happen to you. If you do this, this will happen. And that's very much evident, but there's also a sense of salvation in the end too. There's many of the stories that then turn around and everything can be made all right, but there's at a sacrifice.
Right.
So I asked Jennifer, I said, is it okay if we kind of look at it through this lens? And she said, yes. It was very funny. I said, can we do it in the South? And she went, oh, yes, let's do it. I think the idea of for both of us, the idea of going to the UK and doing this beloved poet over there in Scotland was a little intimidating, because I had never heard of her until Jennifer handed me the poem, and she had never heard of Christina Rossetti until she picked up the book. So, but folks that I know that are in the UK, she's Daniel. Very popular. Yeah, she's very right. popular and well-known over there. So this right. was an opportunity for us to use our regional American voices in telling something, a story that they probably know very, very well, and giving a different take on it. So we came to Nashville here about a month ago and met with some amazing musicians, Chris Tench, Fats Kaplan, David Colello, Rosemary Stewart.
Brett.
And Brett Stewart was the recorded it and mixed it and mastered it at the Sound Shelter in Franklin. And they created this beautiful bluegrass soundtrack for it. Wow. So it's got a very different flavor to it than it did before. The music before was more jazz tinged, mm-hmm. and it was performed live. This is all.
Well, we were after a different thing.
Yeah, we were just looking at it in a different.
The point of view was different.
In a different way, mm-hmm. and so now we have something that I think is a lot more personal. Mm-hmm. At least for me, it is, because I feel like that
and simpler.
Yeah, it is simpler. It is simpler.
It's like, I think we're more mature storytellers, and we're just much more economic.
Yeah, there's something very rustic and very primal about it now, and more direct. I grew up with the International Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, and several years ago, took Jennifer over there to it so she could experience that. And that's had a big influence over mm-hmm. how we approach this play this time too.
So, in the telling of it, I guess in a way you have to stay true to the verse and the meter of the piece. But
absolutely,
do you stay true, or you try to break up? Because it's kind of a weird kind of rhythm pattern, from what I've noticed in my reading.
No, actually, it's kind of amazing how. Putting that mountain twang on the verse sounds very natural. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Because we talk like that as Southerners.
Yeah.
We have a metered pattern as Southerners.
Yeah.
And it fits right in with Christina Rossetti.
It's kind of amazing how musical the regional dialect sounds with this. With this dialogue.
We're musical. Southerners are musical.
Yeah. and it's got these kind of baroque turns of phrases that every once in a while I go, oh, wow, I think I heard some old woman say that once somewhere. You know, I've heard somebody say something so similar to that. I think back on people like Truman Capote and Eudora Welty and William Faulkner. It has that kind of rhythm and sense to it that, yeah, it was surprisingly wonderful to know how easily it translated.
Yeah. Well, excellent. So when are the dates here in town, and how can we get tickets, and how can we support your trip to Scotland and Edinburgh Fringe Festival?
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're opening here in Nashville. We're going to premiere it here June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at Dark Horse Theater over on Charlotte Avenue. It's
7:00
I'm sorry.
7:00, 7:00 until.
No. They're all evening shows. They're all evening shows.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with 8:00 shows.
Never.
Well, that's okay. 8:00 shows, $15, $15 ticket. They can go to, you can go to brownpapertickets.com and type in keyword Goblin Market Nashville or Goblin Market Dark Horse, and it will bring up the page and you can buy the tickets in advance or you can purchase them at the door. We'll run for 3 nights. It's the show runs a little under an hour. Mm-hmm. So you can still have plenty of time to get home and get a good night's sleep. So
it's the new Nashville, Mark. Now,
I know. You'll spend an hour getting home.
You might want to budget an hour and a half, right?
We're on Facebook, and you can check out stuff. We're posting video from rehearsals. Work with our choreographer Allison Flamondon, and so we're very excited. This will to premiere it here in town.
And it's not all pretty.
So we'll be here, and then we go to New York in July 14th, 15th, and 16th. We're at 59 East 59th Street Theater, and then we open in Edinburgh on August 3rd. August 8th. See, now you knew that better than I did. August 8th. We open August 8th, and we'll be there for 3 weeks.
Well, we wish you all the best, of course, to break legs and everything like that. You'll have to
keep us
posted on your travails in Scotland and along the way. So
we will.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
No worries. So when you mentioned Facebook, is there a particular Facebook entity we need to look for? Or is it just your personal pages?
I think it's like Goblin Market Nashville or
2017 or something.
Goblin Market 2017. That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I will have links to that stuff on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Well, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun. If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so I want to thank Mark Cabus and Jennifer Jewell for stopping by today via Skype to chat about their project, Goblin Market, based on the poem, of course, by Christina Rossetti. And information we talked about going to see the show will be found on the show notes page, once again, at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter at @inexplicableDS, at @inexplicable D S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, very excited stuff. We're starting our IDS summer rep. So the gang will be back giving you some old classic old time radio scripts for you to enjoy once a month during the summer. So I'm looking forward to that. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.